I'm going to go ahead and invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1. That's the book of Acts, chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. And if you have it, why don't you shout amen? And if you don't have, you can say, hold up. So we're going to go ahead and read that. And it says like this. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. In this hour, I want to preach to you in this thought that the Lord gave me, titled Carriers. I'm going to invite you right there where you are to lift up your hands, and we're going to come before the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you honor and we give you glory, Jesus. Your spirit is already here, Lord, and your spirit is already moving, Father. And this hour, Lord, I put myself before you, anoint my lips, Father, that I may preach with the freedom that comes from you, with your anointing, Father, that your people, Lord, may receive this word, Lord, with freedom, with joy, Father, and that it can be a blessing, Lord, to this congregation in this hour, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we say, amen. You may go ahead and have your seats. In this passage in the book of Acts, chapter 3, we see that there's a man, and the Bible says, now a man who was lame from birth. He was located at the temple, specifically at the gate called Beautiful. This was a temple in Jerusalem. Now, some people, the Bible says that there were some people that carried this man to the gate. This gate was not just a spiritual entry to the house of God, but it was also a monumental wonder. Its greatness didn't compare to any other gate in Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if you know a little bit about this gate, but it was known for its extraordinary beauty, made of bronze. This gate was not just any door, but a declaration of greatness, standing at about 70 feet tall, 60 feet wide. Now, if we just pause for a moment, that is a huge door. That is a huge gate. It was so big that it required 20 men to open the gate and close it every single day. This gate was the entrance to a divine place where heaven met earth, where prayer happened and where people would seek God's mercy. But despite the splendor of this gate, you would find many people being carried to this gate, the blind, the sick, the lame, those who were in need would be carried to this gate. Because they knew that the Jews would pray 3 times a day, and that when they would come to the temple to pray, they knew they could potentially receive something from the people coming to the temple for prayer. Now, when we read this passage, we could look at every detail and everyone who participated in this passage that we just read, we can focus on Jesus Christ as he is the center of this miracle. He's the center of each miracle, of each message, of each moment in the scripture. Amen. In this story, the name of Jesus is the fountain of healing. It wasn't Peter and it wasn't John, but it was the authority in the name of Jesus Christ that brought healing to this man. If we look further, we can focus on Peter. We could talk about John. We knew who they were. Great leaders, set examples. They were used by God, filled with the Holy Spirit. But in this passage, when Peter and John walked by, I love something that they did. They took time to pray for this man. They could have easily ignored him, but they chose not to. We could also look at the lame man himself, the beggar, which here in this passage simply represents a symbolism of humanity without Christ. A man who was lame from birth, representing you and I. What life is without Jesus. Just brokenness, being excluded, in need of a Savior, in need of redemption. Amen? But when we look at the passage as a whole, I want to walk you through the process of this miracle. Because there was different people that played a key part for this miracle to occur. And I want to start off by focusing on the people who are not even mentioned. The first verse says, the second verse, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried. It doesn't tell us who carried him. We don't know who it was. We don't know their names. We don't know how many. We don't know if it's two men or if a man and his wife or if they were cousins. We don't know. No details about them. We just know that it was some people that would carry these men, or in this passage, this lame man, to the gate every single day. Every single day, they devoted themselves to carry him in hope that he would receive something. Now, if we stop for a moment, it wasn't their job. The Bible doesn't say that this was somebody's job to do this. It doesn't say that it was their duty. It doesn't say that they were getting paid for this. It just says that some people carried him to the gate. And I want to tell you that the miracle of this man started with the carriers. The miracle of this man started because there was people around there that felt it in their hearts, that felt a burden to help this man that was in need, that when they saw him, they knew that he couldn't get there, that they saw him in a situation that he couldn't help himself, and they knew that perhaps they didn't have silver or gold as well. Maybe they didn't have much to give him, but all they could give him was a little bit of help by carrying him to the gates of this temple. They knew perhaps that they couldn't heal him. Maybe they looked at each other and said, well, there's nothing else we can do, but we know a place where maybe somebody can do something for him. Let's take him there. But what speaks to me is the fact that they didn't do it once. The Bible in this passage says that daily they carried him to the temple gate. Daily. When we talk about daily, it's called consistency. And you know how hard that is. Sometimes it's hard to be consistent for ourselves. Can you imagine being consistent in helping others? That's the part that maybe this passage doesn't go in detail, but I want to pause for a moment because there was something about these people. There was something that they were filled with that they just had a burden within them to do something for this man. And I wonder, church, if at moments, if we look at lives today, there's many times where we could walk by any restaurant and we can see many people on the streets asking for food or for money, but what do we notice? A lot of people walking by Amen. There's a lot of people that just walk by, ignore them. Matter of fact, you don't even have to be lame. They ignore me just when I say hello. They just keep walking. You don't even have to ask for money. People just don't say hi anymore. People don't care. They just go on their way because they're too busy. They got things to do. But I want to say that as people of God, there's got to be a burden within us to take time to reach people. How are we going to have revival if when we see people in the streets asking for help, we just walk by? How are we going to ask God, bring revival to this city, bring revival to this church, Lord? And when there's people around us, when we go to a park, we just walk by and go have fun. If we are called the people of God, I believe we have to set this, follow this example of these carriers, that they felt a burden within them to do something. It wasn't even much. It wasn't even much. It was simply taking him to a place where he could receive something from somebody else. And I want to tell you today that these people are the ones that started the miracle in this passage. There was a miracle in their hands that they didn't even know about. But they found out once they took him there. And I'm curious to ask somebody, is it possible that maybe there's a miracle in your hands for somebody else's life that is just simply waiting on you to take action, to reach out to somebody? You see, it may not be physically, but it may be in the spirit that they are broken. It may be in the spirit that they need somebody to be there with them. It may be in the spirit that they need prayer. But who else but you and I that call on the name of Jesus, that call ourselves believers and followers of Christ, who else can they wait for? If it's not you, then who is it going to be? If it's not today, when will it be that we take it upon ourselves to go out and reach the brokenhearted? As I read this passage, I started to wonder how many miracles could we see if we simply took action and brought people to the temple? How many miracles could we see if we simply heard the voice of God to bring them here? Amen? We don't have to, God didn't call us to transform the people. God didn't call us to transform their lives. All we got to do is bring them to the temple and let God do the rest. Let God do the miracle. Church, I'm here to tell somebody that we are called to be carriers, carriers of his word and carriers of people into the temple of God, into this place. I don't know about you, but do you believe that the Holy Ghost moves in this house? Do you feel the Holy Ghost in this place? Do you believe that freedom can happen here? I believe with all my heart that something can happen in the presence of the Lord. I believe with all my heart that when we worship in this place, miracles happen. We are called to be carriers. But many times I want to tell you, we cannot fall into the routine, into the pattern of this world. We cannot be too busy to stop and pray for somebody. We cannot be too busy, or matter of fact, or too cool, or too embarrassed, or too ashamed to stop in the middle of nowhere and you see somebody that is broken and offer a prayer. We gotta be able to discern that moment when you see somebody at the store, when you see somebody at the park, just greet them. You don't have to go up to them and become best friends. But if you discern in your spirit, if the Lord leads you, we gotta be able to answer the call and just simply speak life into these people, because there is a miracle behind faith. This is our biggest calling, church. The biggest calling that you and I have is to go out and speak the word of God. It's to go out and speak his word. Acts 5:42 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ daily in the temple and in every house. They did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. How many of you, Lord, love the Lord? Amen. I believe that there's prayer warriors in this house. I believe that there's soul winners. But I believe that we have to be reminded that when we do this out of love, because we know who He is, because we know what He's done for us, and we know what He could do for them. Amen. We got to keep fighting in the Spirit. We got to keep preaching the Word of God. If we have been baptized in the name of Jesus, and we are not carrying people to the temple, are we fulfilling the calling that we have in Jesus? When we read in verse 3, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. See, this beggar wasn't asking for a miracle. He was asking for something physical. He wanted money. But the beauty about the Lord is that He will give us more than what we can ask or think, exceedingly and abundantly. Amen? I got to point out what Peter and John did in this passage. Not only did they see this man, but they acted in faith and with authority. And I want to point out that Peter and John had the discernment in their spirit that the Lord wanted to do a miracle in that hour. How easy could it have been for them to just walk into the temple to go to prayer, but in fact, they would have missed on the whole point of prayer if they couldn't stop and pray for somebody who needed the prayer itself, amen? And I want to tell some of you tonight that sometimes we get carried away in our own minds. Something we get too focused on things that we want to accomplish, that we forget that the prayer is needed, not just for ourselves, but the people that surround us, the people that live in your neighborhood, the people that you work with, the people that you see at the stores, the people that you salute here and there. They need your prayers more than ever. And if it's not you and me, who else is it going to be? In this passage, I love that Peter and John were not afraid to tell him, we don't have silver and we don't have gold, but what we do have, we're going to give to you. And they said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. Let me remind you, we are never going to heal somebody. We are never going to deliver somebody. I'm never going to be able to change somebody's mind or somebody's heart. Oh, but when I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, when I present myself in His name and I call upon His name and I say it in the mighty name of Jesus, who has all the power and all of the authority, I pray be healed in His holy name. I believe that there is miracles that can happen over somebody's life when we simply call on that powerful name. Amen. When we call the name of Jesus, something happens. We were just singing it right now. Show me something. Show me one thing that He can't do. How many of you believe that? Or are we just singing it? Show me one thing that God can't do. Show me a mountain that God can't move. There is no mountain that God can't move. There is no sickness that He can't take away. When we call on His holy name, God can do all things because He has all power and He has all authority. In this passage, we see that the power of His name is the one that delivered this man. Matthew 28:18 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That is the calling that the Lord has placed on us. The biggest calling is not this platform. The biggest calling is not the instruments. It's not holding a mic. It's not preaching behind this pulpit. The biggest calling is reaching those who are lost. The biggest calling that you and I could have is reaching those who are in need of a Savior. The biggest calling that we have is simply to open up our mouths and preach the gospel and preach the good news of Jesus. Was that not the purpose that the disciples had when the Lord called them and taught them about the kingdom of God? And in Acts 1:8, he told them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth." Why was it that the Lord told them to wait for the promise of the Father? You see, they were going to go out to preach, but he told them, wait until you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How many of you have the power of the Holy Ghost in this place? I said, how many of you have the power of the Holy Ghost? Now, let me ask you, if we were anointed with the power, let me ask you, why were we anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost? It wasn't just for us to show up on Sundays for an hour. He didn't anoint you with the power of the Holy Ghost just for you to go home and turn on the television. He anointed you and I with the power of the Holy Ghost so that when we pray over somebody, somebody can actually get delivered. So that when we actually lay hands on the sick, they can receive freedom. So that when we call on the name of Jesus, somebody could be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, God anointed us with the Holy Spirit so that we could have power to preach, so that we could have power to heal, so that we could have power to set people free in His Holy name. He anointed us with power. But the problem that I see sometimes is that we don't use that power. The issue that I see sometimes is that we don't pray and use that power. Matter of fact, sometimes we forget that we have that power. Can I tell you something? When there's people that come visit us, I challenge you to put a hand over their shoulders and just simply begin to pray and call over the name of Jesus. And you will see that something's going to change in the atmosphere. You're going to see that something is going to change in their lives. You're going to plant a seed in that person. A few months ago, there was a young man that came into this place visiting. And I remember I felt him in my spirit to go pray for him. He was sitting in towards the back, and I felt in my spirit, I need to pray for him. And it's easier said than done. Trust me, when we got to pray for somebody, you get a little nervous. You start to think, what are they going to think? Are they going to say yes? Are they going to say no? Is he going to feel weird? It could be. So I felt the Spirit of God in me, leading me toward this young man. And I asked him, may I pray with you? This was during the altar call. But I just felt the Holy Ghost. And I knew I couldn't go home without doing this. And he told me, yeah. And that's all he said. And I put my hands around him. And I began to pray a prayer of declaration over his life, that the Lord may touch him, that the Lord may fill him with his power and his Holy Spirit. And then in that moment, I just saw him lift up his hands. And I know that he could feel what I was feeling, because I was feeling a fire, and the fire of the Holy Ghost is contagious. And in that moment, I began to feel the Holy Ghost. I began to speak in other tongues, and something spoke to me. And I want to share this with you, church. Because many times when we go pray for somebody and we're going to go bless them, they end up blessing you, because your obedience will bring a blessing over your life that you can't imagine. But all you got to do is obey and be discern the Spirit of God when He is calling you to act. If there's people coming to our church, don't let them leave without feeling that love that the Lord has shown you. And that night, I remember I talked to him and I told him that the Lord loved him. And it's important to follow up. I sent him a message, but all I did was plant a seed. When I was in high school, I prayed for a young man. I told him I went to church. We did a small prayer. Don't think that I started speaking in tongues in the lunch area. No, it was a quick prayer. Something that I felt was small, but nothing that we do in the name of Jesus is ever small. I said, nothing that we do in the name of Jesus is ever small. The seed may look small, but when it's in his name, it's gonna grow. And this young man, years later, we lost contact for many years. I ended up moving. We moved on with life. We found each other on social media. We said what's up to each other. And months later after that, he messaged me, Kevin, I want to share something with you. I started going to church. And this was, kid you not, maybe 12 years after we had met in high school. 12 years after. All I did was tell him about the Lord in about a minute. It was like a 10-second prayer. And all I did was plant a seed. And I have no idea who watered that seed, but somebody did. But when he messaged me, I could feel the Spirit of God, and I could see that there was a change within him. He left me a voice message, and I could hear the difference in the way he spoke, and I could feel a fire in him. And from that moment on, I could see everything that he was posting, that he was going to services, that he was traveling out of state to attend services, that he was being filled with the Holy Ghost, that he was reaching other people. And then I remember the verse that says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And I'm here to tell you, all you got to do is plant a seed in somebody's heart. All you gotta do is plant the seed in somebody's heart. It's not that hard to do, church. All you gotta do is share your testimony. Tell them the Lord's been good to me. The Lord has healed me. He has set my mind free. He has set my heart free. And I know if God did it for me, I know that he has the power to do it for you. No matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, I know that God can do it for you. And you leave a seed planted in somebody's heart. And let me tell you, they may not even show up to City Light Church. And maybe the Lord will take them out of state. Maybe they show up to a different church somewhere else. But the seed was planted. And then God will use somebody else to water that seed. And the one who gets the glory is Jesus. Because he's the one that delivers. He's the one that heals. He's the one who sets free. In my family, I believe I've shared this before, but sometimes I wish I could meet the man that spoke about Jesus to my parents. Recently, I had the opportunity to go and visit my family in Guatemala and reconnect with them after so many years. And growing up here with my immediate family, you know, my parents would tell me about family stories and how they grew up, and I'm sure your parents is the same. But when I went and hearing that from them, it put it into perspective for me. From my father's side, my father came from a very violent family where they were in gangs and violence, drugs, and that's the life that my father had. And I want to give you this background so you can see how powerful it is to plant the seed in somebody's heart. My father was involved in that lifestyle, and so was my mother. That's the lifestyle that the family lived in, and that's how my cousins grew up. As of now, they don't go to church. They drink, they party, the whole nine. And sometimes I pause for a moment to just simply thank God that he called me out of that and that he allowed me to grow up in church where I could have grew up as well in gangs and in violence, and I could have been somewhere else in this moment, and I could have been doing something else in this hour. But God, who had mercy upon me, gave me the opportunity not just to grow up here in this country, but the biggest blessing, to grow up knowing him, to grow up knowing his word. And I wonder who that man was that spoke to my parents about Jesus Christ. Because sometimes I wish I could meet him and tell him, you, my friend, may the Lord bless you because you changed my life when you decided to open up your mouth and tell my mother and my father that there was a God that could change their lives around, that there was a God that loved them and that had something else for them. Because when he spoke to them, they received the word of the Lord. They got baptized in the name of Jesus. They turned their lives around. And because of that, I had the privilege to grow up in this path. And because of that person that I don't even know who he is, I don't know his name, I don't know where he's at, I don't even know if he's still alive, but because of that person that decided to open up their mouths and plant a seed in my parents, I'm here today by the grace of God. I wonder how many people the Lord can use us to reach and plant a seed that you will impact their lives. But not just their lives, their kids' lives. I wonder how many future pastors, preachers, ministers, musicians there's around you that they don't even know they have that gift within them. And all that is waiting to activate those gifts is you to open up your mouth and say, Jesus loves you. May I pray for you. Church, this is so important. For us to realize the power of planting a seed in somebody's heart. The power of opening up our mouth and saying that there is a God that can change our lives. That there is a God that can turn it around. I don't know about you, but yes, when I see somebody homeless in the streets, yes, they look sketchy. I gave somebody one time a few bucks. The man tried to jump in my car. I said, Lord, I'm trying to do what's right, but help me out. I reached out. I said, God bless you. Jesus loves you. And I gave him $1. And he said, do you have more? Put the window up real quick, hit the gas. And I said, in Jesus' name, I'm leaving real quick. And that moment quickly, it wanted to change my mind. I said, man, this is why I don't want to do this anymore. But it's not about us. It's about what Jesus can do for them. And I continue when I can. And many times I don't carry cash. But if we could just simply tell somebody, Jesus loves you. And we could just simply, God bless you. We were having service down the street. Let me tell you that God can turn their life around. Let me tell you, when I spoke to one of my uncles last month when I saw him, I was moved. Like I said, I had heard stories about him. I had heard many things. He was a terrible man, lost completely. In gangs and violence and so many things. So many things. And can I tell you that the Lord changed his life around? My parents began to tell him about the Lord. There was other people around him over there that began to tell him about the Lord. And about 10 years ago, he decided to give his life to Christ. And I could tell you that it wasn't easy, because when you grow up in a certain lifestyle, there's a stronghold that doesn't want to let you go. There's a spiritual warfare. The enemy doesn't want to lose that soul. And you get into a spiritual warfare when you begin to speak to Jesus, to somebody. But when I went over there and I hugged him, he told me he was proud because I grew up in the church. And he started telling me that God had been good to him. And my cousins that grew up with him and knowing him, they would tell me, Kevin, you just don't believe it because you weren't here to see it. But you better believe that this man's life has changed completely. You better believe that the fact that he speaks about Jesus is a miracle, because he wanted nothing to do with God. And I felt the power of the Holy Ghost. And I couldn't do nothing else but to thank God for choosing us to carry his word. I'm here to tell you that we are carriers of his word, church. That is the best calling that anybody in this earth could have. The best thing that we could have in our life is to carry the word of God and share it to those who need it. Because it's not going to be you and me. But all we got to do is bring them to the temple, to the feet of Jesus. All we got to do is bring them. And God will change their life around. I'm going to invite you to be up on your feet in this hour. And I just want to remind you that only God has the power to take Saul and change his name to Paul. Only God has the power to turn a sinner into a preacher. Only God can turn a drug addict into a prayer warrior. And that was my family. Only God could change their life around. Only God can take a prostitute and turn them into a soul winner. Only God can do it. I said only God can change the lives of the people. Only God can break strongholds. Only God can do it. Because he has all power and authority. And I'm here to simply tell somebody that you and I, we are carriers of his word. We are carriers of the blind and of the sick and of the lame. And we gotta carry them to the temple gate where you and I cannot heal them, but we know somebody that can. We have an important task, church, to simply open up our mouths and tell somebody over there outside these walls, I know a God that can change your life around. I don't care how deep you are into drugs. I don't care how deep you are into gangs. That's where my family came from. My grandfather died because he smoked all his life. My uncle died because he was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. I don't come from a family of preachers. My father's not a minister. My grandfather didn't a pastor. I come from a family who were in gangs, in violence, drug addicts. My cousin, my age, passed 12 years ago, killed in a gang violence. I don't come from the background you think I come from. I come from a background of a family that simply needed a miracle, that needed change in their lives. I come from a family that needed Jesus. I come from a broken family that simply needed somebody to say, Jesus can change you.